Yeah, that's been the universal response. Like,
I don't think you tank too, and you still have a chance at playoffs. Like, you still could win two games in the play-in and make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm just always trying to win as many.
Now, was he talking about tanking again? I'm not sure. Tanking moving forward.
Definitely
or tanking
moving
this
forward,
year. Okay,
but he's not resigned to the fact of tanking this year.
Yeah, I don't think you can tank this year.
Yeah,
like Jesse's right. You have. It's all still in front of you, whether we think it can happen or not. The fact that you're talking about winning two basketball games. That's what we're talking about, winning two basketball games. Yeah, give me that.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Now, moving forward, I don't see them doing it, but I understand why the conversation is brought up. Like, we've been over this. Like, we fight over this, the alternatives. Like, how do you so we're going to get a new front office? We're going to keep the same front office? Because you got to answer that question first. Then it's like, okay, Doug's your guy or Doug's not the guy? Because Doug's record is going to come back down to earth here a little bit. Or I'm going to try that again. It appears Doug's record is coming back down to earth a little bit. So what if Doug winds up being a 500 coach? Like a shoot 500 coach. Well, then what? Because that he started five games under, you know, when taking over from Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. But what are we talking about? Like, what is the true barometer here for Doug's success? Can Doug even succeed without a playoff spot? Mm-hmm. Is that the only barometer for success? And what happens if they do make the playoffs? Everything's good, and we just back here again? Like, no matter what happens this year, there are so many unanswered questions going into this offseason because of how truly chaotic this year was. You fired a head coach that you just signed. You traded your franchise player. Your guy that you went to pair with your franchise player seems to be skeptical about the whole situation. You went and landed a couple of Chicago Bulls. One of which you've coveted for a long time, one of which you coveted this offseason. His desire to be here moving forward might be in question. Mm-hmm. And like, people talking about, oh, yeah, I'm all for it. Dude, improve the roster. Okay. Trading DeMar DeRozan is going to improve the roster. Salute. Tell me in your mind what you think that trade looks like. And that's where I'm talking. That's where when we first brought up, like, I don't know where this organization goes moving forward. I don't know what their true trade chips are. You think the league thinks super highly of Domantas Sabonis? I like Domas. I think Domas is very, very good. But I'm asking you, what do you think the league thinks? Mm. When he's out there on the open market, what do you think that commands you?
And look.
You can't possibly answer that. Not a person listening to this can possibly answer that.
I know I can't, but
I know what it's not, though. Mm. It's not Rudy. Mm-hmm. It's not KD. It's, hell, it might not even be De'Aaron Fox. I don't know what it is, but I know it's none of that because he's not thought of like that in this league.
We get into back and forth with people who cover the league outside of Sacramento who are like, dog, Sabonis is not it. Mm-hmm. He is not it. Like, I ain't paying. Especially now you talk about a price tag. It wasn't even like a fictional price tag. It was like, no, now, like, you're paying him. What is he making, $40 million a year or something like that?
Mm-hmm. About, yeah.
There's obviously trade partners. But like you mentioned, what does that look like? Like, do you have to – what are you getting in return? The fact that people believe that you just for sure are going to get multiple first rounders, I don't know about that. I don't know. We think he's great. We think he's a good ball player. We see the value in him. There are a lot of people outside of Sacramento who do not see the same value at that price tag for Domantas Sabonis.
That's right.
And so that's all we're saying.
Throw back a little bit. Is there even a core here?
No.
Like, who on this team are you holding on
Absolutely
to for like
not.
The next 3 years, 4 years? Like,
nobody.
Yeah, no one. There's no one here where, and I'm not of the belief like Keegan's got to go, but I'm also not of the belief like, oh my God, you can't lose Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
You ready to build around, like, just genuinely ask that, are you ready to build around Keegan Murray, Devin Carter, Keon, like, who's
that core like, that TC throwing? Threw out there. Oh my gosh, that's not it. That core. Like if you have them on your team, like that's one thing. But like we building around these. Nah, we ain't building around them. Now, like you said, that doesn't mean
that's crazy. There ain't a single core player here.
Like, what are you working with at that point then? Past this season?
I don't know. I brought this question up months ago. I don't know.
Well, I low-key think we have our answer.
The killer.
No one?
That's the thing. Like, yeah, I think we're just headed. I don't see how this works with Doug Christie, this roster in this front office. I just don't see it. I don't see how this works or how you trade whoever. It's like, round out the roster this way. I don't see it at all.
The killer.
I don't see a future here.
The killer is you don't have the draft pick. Like you may not, like you either got to make the playoffs and not have the draft pick, so you'll go another year without a true core player, or you miss the playoffs, you get the draft, and you got a hit. You may not have a core player with the next, if you get this draft pick this year. Just because you're there don't mean like you're going to make the right decision. But the fact that I don't even want to say miss because I don't think these guys are bad basketball players, but you haven't found the franchise player in 4 drafts?
Yeah.
That's tough for a
But how many draft picks are franchise players? Like per year, how many do you think the draft pick winds up being a franchise player?
I would say less than 5. I would say less than 5.
5 per year?
Yeah, less than 5.
Okay. I got you. No, that's fine. No, less than 5 is fine.
I don't think this team ever really, this front office built a team the right way to get the most out of whatever you had. Like, you had Tyrese and Fox at one point. Like, the Pacers built a team around Tyrese, Thos Siakam, but they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, Fox and Halliburton didn't work, and then you get rid of Halliburton. Like, Fox and whoever, like, they just never built the right guys here.
Yeah.
But you had, like, you could have gone to Western Conference Finals, like, with Fox, I think, and you could have been successful in the playoffs if you just built teams the right way, if you added rings, if you added big men and stuff like that. They just never did it the right way.
I never got this confirmed. This we're just talking. This is just talk. Someone told me that Indiana did ask for De'Aaron. Is this roster any different? Is anything different if it's Tyrese?
No, because they still probably built it backwards. I can give you whatever player you want. Like, how many times have we begged Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, whoever, to go get a wing and stuff like that? They never built this team the right way.
Well, once again, like I said,
at least that was sustainable enough for winning.
I push back just a little bit because you went and got your Keegan Murray, and you tried to go get you the wing that you're talking about. The price was the one that you weren't comfortable paying. That's why I always push back with that one. Like,
which one is that?
It's trading Keegan Murray.
Mm. All right. Well, the front office got it wrong then, I guess.
What'd you say?
Maybe the front office got it wrong. Like, trading Keegan for who? Siakam or who?
Siakam or OG. And there was no guarantee they were going to sign with you. But that was the move. Then you had other situations where everybody wasn't on the same page, whether it was Brandon Ingram or John Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think actually getting the deal done is what matters most, but I don't think they didn't try, and I think they put a lot of trust and belief in Keegan Murray. And that was the guy, like, nah, we can't. We'll give you Harrison and, you know, whatever first rounder we get, but we not moving off of Keegan. And I understand that.
It's all hindsight now. Maybe they played the wrong card then.
Yeah, that's fine. But I also understand it, though. I wasn't trying to trade Keegan for those guys when they were up during that offseason. I wasn't trying to do it, you know, and that, like you said, that might have been the wrong play.
They might have made a mistake. I don't want to say they never took a risk, but maybe just never taking the next one.
Well, yeah, but
you traded Halle for Domas. That was a risk.
Would you have taken a risk on Siakam? or OG? Let's say it includes Keegan, and you don't know if you're gonna re-sign them, mm-hmm. and even if you do, you know what it's gonna cost you.
Yeah, I'm on record of saying this is where I get frustrated with some people who get upset with the front office. I will tell you, I wouldn't have made that deal.
I wouldn't have either.
I wouldn't have made. And the people at the time, we're on the airways, we're having these discussions. No, we're not trading Keegan, and we're telling you that's what it's gonna cost to get one of these guys. So
without knowing they'll be here.
Right. I'm not trying to absolve the front office, but the reality is you tell them to go get these guys, and Keegan is the guy that's going to get you that.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you don't want to trade Keegan. Well, how are they supposed to go get him? Like, these could be the things that are happening in those offices.
Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter.
Well, that's the thing, too. It's kind of disgusting how many times we talk about the universal deal. Like, these guys never really built up assets for themselves to move.
Kevin Herter somehow wound up a throw-in in the Fox trade.
Yeah. Well, so this is where I go back to the drafting is the biggest issue, because that's where you get your assets, and they had none. Nobody
did
was
the Kings
moving.
Screw up that deal?
Which deal?
The Fox deal.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, at that time, I'm not sure what you were going to do. The argument
I think
would be
their
to wait.
Sole mission was to get Zach LaVine.
Mm. That feels like a mistake, maybe.
You said that.
Like, I feel like that was their sole mission, was to land Zach LaVine.
Mm.
And
you can have a plan, but that feels like a mistake.
They did.
Mm. Hmm.
I
would love to know the thinking then as far as where that team was going with Zach.
Hopefully to the playoffs. That was the thinking.
But like, I mean, like, yeah, but we were talking but I'm playoff saying, runs with Fox. Like,
that, but that's, the, we still, like, we were trying to get to the playoffs with Fox. What can we do to, like, keep the playoff dream alive? Go get a Zach LaVine.
You think Zach was a job to save? You think Zach was a move to save jobs?
I think Zach was a move to save the season.
Okay.
And I'll be, so here's the tough part about the deal, the outcome, and all of the fictitious, you know, scenarios we can run through in our head. Is the Sacramento Kings season any different today if De'Aaron Fox is on the team? And my opinion is it's not. The Kings are in the exact same position right now, whether it's De'Aaron Fox here or it's Zach LaVine here. The problem is, like, I don't think the Kings thought past this season. And if the scenario to trade that De'Aaron was better in the summer, they weren't going to explore that. There is a scenario where the season is worse because you have a player who is probably unhappy that he's here, no matter what he told us. He's probably unhappy that he's here past the trade deadline. And he's playing for a team that he has no future with. Mm-hmm. Because it was pretty clear he's not coming back.
And
like, they weren't bringing him back, and he wasn't coming back.
A quick caveat to that is you'd have messed up his money now, too. Because
now he's got an attitude.
Yeah. You'd have messed up his money, because the mm-hmm. other thing about San Antonio was the timing mm-hmm. needed to fit so he could get that full max. You keep him in the summer, and you'd have messed up his money. Now he really hot with you.
I do think you needed to trade Fox before the deadline. I mean, he said as much in the articles we was talking, like, I wasn't going to help the Kings out as far as, like, trading me or anything like that. Like, San Antonio was the move for him. But it does kind of hurt if, like, you were looking to trade Fox, but, like, you were so tunnel vision where, like, oh, yeah, we want Zach. That's it. Like, you didn't look for
That's what I else. Felt. I felt
If that's
like
the
that's
case, that one hurts. Because Zach feels like, all right, they're not giving us Castle. We're not getting anything else. Fine, let's get Zach. But if Zach was your number one, then I don't know.
I think we'll even go a step further back. I'll tell you when I come back. What
Can I come back too, or is it just you?
No, just me and Zach.
We're done.
Okay,
just
you
me
and
Zach.
Okay, all right. So Zach and Casey continue here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My family's here watching a live recording of this show, so
D-Lo,
it's
this is
nice.
Your life.
Yeah,
let's go.
My sister's here.
And get his middle school teacher in here later on at 3:13.
Yeah. Shout out El Camino High School. See, this is why. I took your screen off when my sister came in. Stephen Brown says, is that D-Lo's sister from the white side?
Yeah, man.
So I with the big eyeball emoji. So I immediately was like, nah, he's gotta go.
Yeah, that dude, Stephen Brown, man. You gotta watch that dude, man.
Stephen Brown loves white women. We know that. We don't know a lot about Stephen Brown. There's question about his height. Well, he says
no
he's 6'5", but most people believe he's
5'8".
5'8".
144.
But we do know he loves white women. Very, very much.
5'8 with insoles on.
That's it. Let's get... You got the insoles on today?
Nah, man. You know what I'm saying? I got the Chelsea boots on, man, so I'm already high enough.
Oh, you stepping out tonight then, yeah?
No, a little bit. You know, well, I honestly, you know, sometimes I just like to switch up the routine, man. They think, you know, I'm just hoodies. Nah, it's a little bit more than that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? More than that.
All right. I got a hoodie on today, so let's get Leezy in here.
Rich hoodie. That is not a hoodie.
It's not rich. It's the brand.
Did you buy that at Marshalls or Ross?
Come on,
I bought
man.
It at Macy's.
No, that's good stuff right there. He's good.
That's not a hoodie.
He's good.
That's not a hoodie.
It does look good, though.
Shout out Macy's.
It's very nice. That's not a hoodie, man.
It's the same brand that you wear.
Matter of fact,
regularly.
Casey, when's the last time you shopped at Macy's?
That cardigan he had on Friday is literally the one I introduced him to, and now I can't wear it because we're going to show up one day looking like jackasses with matching cardigans on.
It wouldn't be the first or second or third time you guys matched.
It wouldn't be. It would not be. 916-909-1320. I'm about to boot Stephen Brown out of the chat.
Come on, man. Hey.
Skid Leezy in here, 916-909-1320. What's up, Leezy?
Yo, what's up, guys? Hey, I don't know much about cardigans, but I got a nice hoodie from the Insiders. I will say
there,
that.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I'm going to trust that you wear the Insiders hoodie all of the time because it was free and people make Insiders merchandise, whereas you actually have to buy D'Lo and KC merchandise.
Hey, I will gladly buy some D'Lo and KC merch. I like the blue hoodie you guys have.
You know that website's been up for like 4 years, Leezy.
Leezy, don't. Like Stephen Brown's working on his height. I'm working on getting my money up.
Leezy, don't buy nothing. I'll get some merch for you. What are you, a small?
Oh wait, what?
Huh? No, large.
Hey,
you got to do a big, large.
Hey,
I got you, Leezy. We'll get some stuff ordered for you.
Yes, sir. Hey guys, I just wanted to call in because you guys got me pumped up, man. You guys speaking the facts today. I'm tired of people piling on Zach and DeRozan. I'm with you, Casey. And one other note I wanted to get into was you guys were kind of talking about some of the moves the front office has made or haven't made. And it doesn't matter what player you go through. Like, what are they getting in return for players that they're shipping out? Like, I feel like we held on to Harrison Barnes for too long. What did we get back for him? Sasha, we was all hyped about. We traded him for pretty much nothing. And even the same thing with Davion. So it kind of feels like the Kings, they aren't making win now moves. And when they finally do get rid of a player, we're not getting like our maximum output back, I guess. Even with the Fox trade, normally whenever a high-profile player wants to get traded, it's kind of dragged out so you can get the best deal. We traded Fox pretty fast, and some people would argue we didn't get the most back. So just the front office has to do better.
Or the front office needs to be better. Like, not – I'm talking about, like, a better front office. Mm-hmm. Again, that was this whole thing. As I'm trying not to focus on the TV because I feel like John Cena's doing the cowardly heel thing, and it looks like it's working. They're doing this face off with Cena and Cody for a fight, and John's just walking away because that's what heels do. Look at him. I like that. That's good stuff right there. I didn't hear the promo he cut, and I think it's already significantly shorter than it was last week.
Some nice shoes, Cole.
But I like that whole suit.
Yeah, that whole suit
is a win.
Those shoes got to be about $500-$600.
Well, not. I mean, it's probably a little less expensive than what you buy.
I don't know. Five.
We got a number actually for KC's. The most expensive one he's ever gotten, right?
I didn't spend that.
He just asked you that last week, and you said you did.
Not the one he's talking about. There's another one where it was like, it was like 500.
Okay.
Those are some nice shoes that Cody got, though. Like you said, the whole outfit is nice.
But that was the whole crux of this conversation. You have frustrations with DeMar DeRozan. You have frustrations with Zach LaVine. You think DeMar shouldn't be on that. You may get your wish this offseason. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, tanking, tearing the roster down. You might be, and I know Kings fans don't want to acknowledge this, you could be unintentionally bad. Like, you're not trying to tank, you're just not very good. And the tough part is, like, again, DC, I'm with you. I understand you're fixing the airplane in the air, but we've always said you got to land this plane safely. You got to get to your destination and land this plane safely. Then what are you going to do? Because there are plenty of repairs. If you fly enough, hey, there's a hey, guys, sorry, there's a mechanical issue. Everyone's got a deplane. 6 hours pass and they come back going, yeah, dog, we need a new plane. You're not able to get on this one. Sacramento Kings might be looking for a new plane. That might be ultimately what we're talking about when this is all said and done, is this plane that Doug's trying to fix can't be fixed. And the gears are down. You're either landing or you're crashing. One of the two is happening. Oh, it's just a matter of, are we repairing this and taking off next year, or we got a new plane?
So,
because I can ride DC's plane analogy all day.
Yeah. So this is, we're going to take it a little further back. And I think, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this is what I try to do in these moments, right, with these scenarios. I think it's easy to talk about they should do this or they should do that. But when you're faced with all the, like, the real issues that are in front of you, I don't think it's as cut and dry as people make it out to be. And I go back to the summer, and I think they were just trying to get through this year with a playoff appearance. That's, like, because it wasn't right. Like, none of it, like, that was a, once again, not caping for anybody, but look at what you're doing. All right, we got to find a way to get Malik back.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, this Mike Brown situation is a real issue. It's a real issue. There are X amount of players that aren't feeling this guy.
Yeah.
We got De'Aaron Fox that we're just trying to get to the point where we can sign him. And then maybe we'll have some stability. Maybe that'll, even if he wants to go, like, we'll have more, there'll be more leverage. We can get better deals a year or two from now with him under a contract or something like that. That's just, and we got to add talent. So we got DeRozan. Might not be perfect. Let's add talent and let's just get to the playoffs, and then the pick will be conveyed. Mm-hmm. We won't have to deal with that no more. Mm-hmm. So we can make more trades and all this other stuff. Just please don't implode, and we'll deal with a lot of stuff this upcoming summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. What they do? it ain't even, once again, not trying to absolve them, but it's not even them. They put this stuff in place. They're like, man, everybody just be on your best behavior. Get along. Let's get to the playoffs, and we'll deal with it in the summer. And they come out and are 13-18 and quitting on this guy.
That is not sustainable at all. I'm sorry.
But so,
like, the whole teetering, hanging on by a thread, like, you can't do that going into the year.
That's fair. But I asked the question, what would you do? What would you do? You know the situation with Mike Brown. This guy's holding.
Well, it's fine. You can stick. Like, we can live with their decisions, but we can also live with the fact that they didn't yield any results and they got to go now.
No, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, like, that, I think that's their, that was the way they looked at, because this thing was,
that's fine,
like,
but
a
you,
bit of a mess.
That's fine, but you don't get, like, oh, yeah, I get it. Like, you were wrong.
So, all right, what would you have done?
Honestly, if I knew that Fox was out, if Brown was out, and I knew half the team already quit on Brown, I'm looking at trading Fox before the season even starts.
Okay. Okay.
Because if it's teetering on, I'm like, hey, come on, guys, let's all just get along the whole year, then, yeah, it's not going to work.
That's a scenario, and that's perfectly fair, and I can see that, and you make your decisions based on what's best for the organization. But how would that have looked?
Who cares? We got to fix this.
I know, who cares, but I'm just asking a question. How would that have looked? A year after making the playoffs, and then you miss, and then you trade De'Aaron Fox. I'm not saying that you're, I think I like your scenario.
How?
Knowing everything that was in front of you, but I'm just saying, hell, we talk about how it would look if you didn't sign Mike Brown.
Yeah.
How would it look if you traded De'Aaron Fox?
But Go ahead.
You change perception by just making the right move. Like, it's going to look bad, but, like, the Pistons hiring J.B. Bickerstaff probably looked bad, and now it's like, oh, they're good now.
And
like,
so maybe
that's how you change the perception.
What would that move have looked like then versus what it looked like a couple months ago? I think we talk about players bringing value down. I think teams bring value down, too. Everyone knew, oh, Sacramento was struggling. Oh, we knew. They were we knew this wasn't real. They had one little cute year and it's over. And now they're drowning. And De'Aaron ain't gonna fetch that much. Go ahead, call, make them an offer, see what they take. And I'm sure they got calls. I don't know what those calls look like, but I'm sure they got them.
Are you?
But I'm of the belief they wanted Zach LaVine.
That's a problem in itself. Like,
let's utilize. This is our chance to get him. This is how the salary. This let's. Get Zach LaVine this way.
Are you able to get more value for De'Aaron Fox if you're able to trade him before the media circus starts?
Maybe.
Before this all leaks out?
Maybe.
Because like, when that all leaks out, it's like, all right, San Antonio then.
I think your scenario is the one that works where you're doing it last offseason. That's where you're getting, I think, because that's where it's like if a Shams tweet goes up that just says De'Aaron Fox has been traded, well, that's a whoa, what? That's what that is.
Yeah, that's what I mean, too. Like, middle of the season, this all gets out. Now, there's a whole media thing, but if you do it quietly in the offseason before even it's on anyone's kind of radar, I feel like you can probably net some better. You could have netted better value.
I completely agree. I completely agree.
I like and understand Jesse's scenario. I'm just that you think you got credibility issues right now. Like, because what...
But if the deal is better, why would their credibility be bad? If you wind up with a good deal that puts Sacramento in a... Because I think Jesse's point is you're in a better position if you do that deal.
They're going to hate on you regardless for trading Fox.
Like, you're in a better position, but you still have X amount of players that don't like the head coach.
Well, yeah, okay.
And you've got to deal with that.
All right, well, my thinking is if I was running it, I'm not extending Mike Brown. If I know that half the team is out on him, I'm not extending him.
You may, Jesse's giving me answers, and that's all I ever asked for, right? And you may be 100% right. But the summer of 2024, you are getting rid of Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox?
As opposed to this, though.
Crazy. I'm not even saying you're wrong. That might be the right situation, but just live in that moment and be like, we made the play, we broke the drought, these guys, and to be honest with you, those are the guys that get the most credit for breaking that drought. De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown.
Yeah.
And they miss in the play-in and you ship them out. That's you better be sure of what you're doing. And I don't know if they're sure of what they're doing. Like that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Ain't that what they?
That's it's very good. Yes, that's a. I think that's a dodgeball.
Mavs traded Luka. If they could do that, I could do this.
Where's that guy? Where's Nico going to be in 12
months? Well, I'm not trading Luka here. I could trade De'Aaron Fox and the coach that everyone hates. That's different.
But, I said, Jesse gives answers.
The Pistons were a joke until they started putting wins on the table. Now it's like, oh, yeah, like the Pistons, they were right to hire J.B. Bickerstaff. They were right to do all this.
But they also
like, you're a joke player. Until you start winning.
They also have the player. They've got a franchise player that's here.
I don't know that the Kings ever questioned De'Aaron, though.
Like being the guy?
I don't know if they ever questioned that he was the guy.
I agree with you. And you'd be doing that before De'Aaron ain't even got a problem with you. At that point.
Right, because the Mike Brown thing hasn't started.
He don't even have a problem. He's committed to you.
But
you like him.
But taking that out of the equation, could you have continued to build this team around De'Aaron Fox? We know you can't around DeMar. We know you can't around Zach. That's not the question. The question is, because this all boils down to the end result could have wind up being the same no matter what.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
Could you have continued to build around De'Aaron Fox? And I feel like the answer is no.
I think, once again, hindsight, maybe I feel a little different at the time. Yeah, I thought you could build around De'Aaron Fox.
So De'Aaron Fox can be your best player?
I thought he could for a team that's successful. I don't know about a championship team, and maybe that's what you're asking. But a team that gets to the playoffs and wins a round or two, you know, maybe even gets, you know, to the conference finals. I thought De'Aaron Fox could be be that guy. You would need some other, obviously, some other good ball players around you, around him. But if he would be like your leading scorer and your best player.
You could have been the Memphis Grizzlies with Fox, where you're just perennially in the playoffs and making runs. I mean, maybe you're not winning titles, but yeah, I think you could have been that. If you built the right team, of course.
Yeah,
you feel like Memphis has an identity, though, no?
Yeah, but
Memphis
like,
takes on the identity, I think, of their head coach.
Yeah, they're tough.
What was the identity of this basketball team?
Well, we saw.
You know what the identity was? Is goddamn indifference.
Well, no. Well,
that's what it was. De'Aaron felt constantly indifferent to everything.
That's a good point too. I would say their offense, though, because when they did win, their identity was shooting the piss out of the
ball.
It's true, yeah. They really shot the piss out of the ball game team.
Oh, so we're gonna repeat it. That's great. Okay. I don't know what that phrase means, but it became, all right, fine. So that's what they're doing with the ball. But what happened the very next year?
Mike Brown wanted to sign Duarte?
No, well, that. No, literally, the entire league started to do it.
Mm-hmm. So and one team did it better.
What the little Kings team did the year prior, oh, that was special. Now everyone is doing it. And you're not doing it at a rate greater than they are.
I also think
the guy who was a part, the central focus of the big trade, spearheaded their effort to blow your offense out the water.
I also think one of the first mistakes that this front office made, I thought it back then too, was not making any moves after Beam Team 1 year was a mistake. You didn't capitalize that off.
Sure,
at all,
absolutely.
Like the league caught up to you.
Well, that's what we talked about before, though. And I
what
know,
was the
I
move?
Know what you're saying. Yeah, the move is to trade Keegan Murray. That was the move. That was what was going to net you something that was going to elevate you. And nobody wanted to do that. And
I don't think that was your only move. Like, Kevin Huerter was coming off of good. Like, you had moves, I think.
Well, yeah, Kevin Huerter was coming off of a good season. And I don't, maybe he would have netted you something like that. I don't know. I don't know what was.
And I don't know, like, what the exact move would have been. But I do think coming off of that year, like, you should always improve unless you won a title. No matter what. Because the rest of the league is doing. That's why 48 wins was good enough to get you to the third seed that year. Then the standard rose in the West, and you could have beat that.
But here's one of the frustrating. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and to be, once again, I don't feel like I'm capable for him, but to be fair to him, they were trying.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They tried.
They left Harrison on
but
red
that's the
for
problem.
Weeks.
Yeah, that's the problem. They would try and come up short. Mm-hmm. They did try. How hard? I don't know, but there is a reason. Harrison's contract negotiation started and then stopped.
It's a results-based business, though.
I get it. Like, I get it, and that's why they're going to wind up unemployed.
There's other GMs that try, and they do.
No, I get
no, no, I'm not saying you guys are wrong. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I completely understand, but, like, I don't know what the, you know, what was the you know, the moment where it was like, man, I gotta abandon the OG Anunoby conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we all know why they abandoned the Pascal Siakam situation. I think it's actually multi-layered. I don't think it's just Keegan.
Right.
I don't think the Kings were interested in paying Siakam $200-some-odd million that Indiana was, whatever the number was, mm-hmm. more than willing to pay him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was multi-layered, right? Because it's not just getting like trading Keegan to get this guy. You then have to commit to playing it, being the highest paid player on your team, basically at that point. And did they feel Siakam or OG were that's what they wanted to do with that money?
We said this with Indiana. They made their move. Mm-hmm. See, now, they're in a far better position than Sacramento is, but that's their move. They will have to get ultra creative to become a championship contender. Mm-hmm. They're now a perennial playoff team, which is great. We would love that. But they'll have to get creative now in terms of how they're going to become a championship contender. Mm-hmm. I think we thought we were a perennial playoff team. Mm. And clearly.
Hindsight, would you pay Siakam? And that means he's here?
I don't know.
Hindsight, yes.
And everyone's happy, I'm assuming.
The other aspect is, these guys might have said, we ain't signing with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm saying just us on this end. If he says, yeah, give me the deal and I'll sign here, would you give him that deal?
In hindsight, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But like I said, that would cost me Keegan. I'm not happy about that, but I would make the deal. But in real time, let me ask you this. In real time, if they could have got a commitment from OG or Pascal that they would re-sign here, you think they would have done it? They would have made those moves? If they say, yes, just make the trade, I'll resign.
I feel like they would have for OG. I don't know if they would have for Siakam.
And from our understanding, they could never get that. Nobody was...
No.
Well, some people were like, no, I'm not resigning.
It's very obvious. Indiana told him what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So either it was a preference for Indiana or Sacramento didn't tell him what he wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be an issue. Like, that's going to be an issue. Like, DeMar coming to Sacramento is cool. Like, we all felt great. Let's also not be naive to the situation. What was it? Lakers, Clippers, Heat? They had pennies to offer him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, DeMar makes 20-something million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
He was not getting anything remotely approaching that.
$40 million players here.
Right.
Yeah.
He was not getting that anywhere else. Indiana couldn't, Miami couldn't pay him that. The Clippers couldn't pay him that. The Lakers couldn't pay him that.
Oh, you meant DeRozan.
I'm talking about DeMar.
I got you. Yeah, DeMar. I was talking about those other guys. Yeah.
Yeah, DeMar. Like, I think the money would have worked with those other guys because you would have had to have gotten them in here. You would have been a cap team. You would have ventured into, like, brand new territory because Sabonis would have been here.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have had Harrison.
Yeah, Harrison would have been gone. And I assume Herter would have been gone in that situation,
Probably too.
And Keegan's gone.
Yep.
Let's get Manny in here real quick. 916-909-1320. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, Manny?
What's up, fellas? The common denominator in all these, like, discussions, right, is the front office, whether it's even with you, Casey, with DeRozan. And I agree with you. Like, dude, you knew what you got when you got him, right? Like, you know what he does. You know how he's played. It hasn't changed over most of his career. This is what he does. And you knew that bringing him in. And even when we brought him in, right, we saw the national media lambast that move, talking about that's not going to help the Kings. And a bunch of us, like, whether it was fans or Sacramento media that, you know, took umbrage with that, were, no, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. But we all knew that was going to be hard to fit because we were like, well, how does that improve us in the areas that we're deficient in? And we've talked about this for 2 years, like, if you're a team that's small market, or if you're a team that can't bring in, like, D'Lo, like you were saying, like, we don't know if guys wanted to come here, or we know that the organization tried to bring guys in but didn't, you know, get over that hump, mm-hmm. then you've got to do it through the draft. And that's where they missed a lot, too, is kept bringing in guards, didn't address the small forward situation. And we every year we look at the draft and be like, okay, guard after guard after guard after guard. And so all that accumulates into this front office, and they cannot be here after this season. They need to be to make this to help this organization not look like a joke anymore. They need to bring in a fresh new mind, feel, whatever, and get this. I don't know what they're going to do, and I'm not for tanking. I've never believed as a competitor that you ever want to lose. I understand some of the people's thoughts on that. I'm never about that. But whatever it is you do in the offseason, there's a lot that needs to be done. And like you said, there's going to be a lot of questions. And it's going to be interesting to see where this organization goes moving forward.
All right, Manny. We appreciate you.
Go ahead, my bad.
No, I was just going to say my nephew came all this way to see the Boston Celtics play, and he's not going to get to see Al Horford.
Oh,
man.
Oh.
Al Horford and Xavier Tillman are out tonight. Jaylen Brown is questionable. Sorry, kid.
The Miascada revenge game?
Dreams of seeing Al Horford just out the door. Don't even care. Only trip to Sacramento and Al Horford won't take the floor.
Hey, get a sign. Make a sign. Say you flew from China there and all this. Do it. Go ahead and do that. Have a little tear going down.
Oh, say we'll get Ireland on TV. Or something. Don't say China.
Well, somewhere not close.
Somewhere far. Yeah, we'll come back. I want your response to what Manny said. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line remains open for you as well. 916-909-1320. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. So the Usos teamed up on Monday Night Raw tonight, or Monday Raw. What is the show just called Raw now?
I guess Raw.
It's Monday Afternoon Raw. Yeah.
The best tag team of all time.
Up there with the New Day. I think it's 1 and 2 with the New Day.
No, the Hardys are better.
Oh, not for the my who? Money.
Hardys are better.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'll take
that. That was Hardys walk.
I mean, they're top five.
Those early teams walk, so these guys could run.
Yeah, top five.
Really, you got the Hardys one, huh?
Yeah, I think so. If it's between them and the Usos, I'll take the Usos. Maybe
so
the New Day.
So do like Edge and Christian go up there too? Okay.
I'm.
And if we're adding like groups of three, then where does the Shield fall? Because New Day was three guys.
Did the Shield ever do a tag team situation? Like,
oh yeah, I guess they were just a group where they beat everyone's ass, huh?
I can't. I really can't remember. You would be a little better to talk about. I was gone when the Hardys were really popping. I knew they were popping and everything, but I wasn't tapped in for their impact like that.
Yeah, I'll take the Hardys over the Usos. I'll feel pretty good over that.
Russ Dog says the Hart Foundation.
Nah. I don't know that I'd put them in the top five. They're fine.
You saw them cool.
Legion of Doom?
I mean, they were bigger elsewhere than they were WWE. And, like, I don't know. That's like putting Ric Flair at the top. Like, it's cool, bro. You sold out the Carolinas. Great story.
The
Greensboro, North Carolina was rocking. Like, awesome, dog.
All 100 of them.
The Dudleys?
They're probably up there.
Bubba Ray Dudley sucks now, though.
Oh, he does. Yeah, he's always sucked. But, yeah, he's probably up there.
Street Profits are the champs right now. Maybe they can.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Street Profits are the champs.
It could be a three person conversation with the Usos, Hardys, and the New Day.
That works.
I think those are the three for sure, though.
Glad we finally agreed on something today.
We don't agree on much. That's for sure. I know one thing we can't agree on, and that's if you need to sell your home, there's only one place to go, and it's Johnny Jennings. Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, they can get you at least three guaranteed cash offers in 72 hours.
Check this out, man. My man James, shout out to James, man. He was selling his luxury home in Shingle Springs, and after interviewing multiple agents, he decided to go with Johnny Jennings because of their Bay Area buyer marketing plan. And he was glad he did. Not only did they get him a record price for his neighborhood, but it also sold for $75,000 over the listing price. Come on, man.
That's what they do. They'll sell your home an average 3% higher purchase price than other realtors. They'll sell it 27% faster. They've been voted the number one team in Roseville the past 3 years. And you can ask about their guaranteed home sale program right now. Expect more. Get more with Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, California DRE, number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. So now there's two things we've agreed on.
That's right.
You want to get in on these phone lines, you can. 916-909-1320. A lot of post-mortem conversation because it was a bad weekend for Sacramento. They lost to the Bucks. There were some other things that didn't go their way. Anthony Davis is coming back. You've got the champs tonight. You got potentially the future champs tomorrow. It is a rough time to be a Kings fan right now.
It is.
And the tough part is they could win tonight.
They absolutely can win.
And, like, if they win tonight, you shouldn't be surprised. If they win tomorrow, you shouldn't be surprised. That's the nature of this basketball team.
Man, we talked about it earlier, and I don't know if they're capable. Well, I know they're capable, but, like, will it actually happen? I'm not here to predict with these guys. But they got to find a way. If they could find a way to get one of these next two, that would be a huge plus.
It's not, but work with me here. How much of tonight is a must win given the Suns and Mavs can only be a half game behind you if they win and you lose tonight? Like, they're starting to gain ground where it's just like, all right, now I'm a little worried.
I'm definitely worried about that, but to me, it doesn't matter which one. You just got to get one of these two.
That's fair.
Dude, get one of these two if you can. The likelihood of it is not very high. Like, that's almost the impossible task here. But if you could do that, that would, and I'm trust me, I'm not saying anybody's a pushover or nothing like that. But at the very least, that would set you up to be able to go 4-3 in this 7-game homestand with the, because if you get one of these two, that's your third win. And now on Thursday, you could potentially go 4-3 in the 7-gamer. That everybody, you know, some people were like, you might go 1-6
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And it was realistic because you were playing all these teams. So get one of these, try and get one of these two, man, if you can. It'll set you up in a decent position. Tough, though. It's all task, obviously.
Yeah, don't forget, though, you got to beat Portland.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, put you in a situation. Mm. If you lose both of them, you can't even be in a situation against Portland.
Yeah.
So if you can get one, it gives you the opportunity to have an above 500 homestand.
Kevin Durant, player of the week. Anthony Davis potentially returning here pretty shortly. I think those are all reasons to be concerned. It shows that both Phoenix and KD are playing at a solid level. Anthony Davis returning, like, Dallas is right there.
We've been waiting for them to fall off. They're here and AD's back. Not today, but like looking like he's back soon, one of these days.
Yeah, I'm not there with Dallas yet. I still think still don't think they're good enough. I mean, they've in this stretch, I think they're not good in this stretch since the Kyrie game. And I know AD will be coming back and all this other stuff, but they've been able to hang around mostly because they've won. I think this is, I don't know when this is, but they've won 1, 2, 3, 4.
Gonna hit the over. Wow.
Did we say after the Luka trade?
Yeah, I think it was like 20 games left. Might have been after Kyrie. It was 20 games left or whatever about. And we set a number at 5.5.
Since the Kyrie game, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're 2-8 in that span. Like they're not playing. I don't know how they beat Detroit the other night. But
they got Brooklyn tonight.
But they've been able to Jesse's point, to both of you guys' point, they've been able to just still be in the conversation. They haven't fallen to the point where they're 4 games back of 9-10. They're right there. And you get AD, and who knows what might happen. Who knows what might happen with the Kings and the Suns, where you don't have to start winning a bunch of games if you're Dallas. Like, they could be losing a bunch of games, too. Mm-hmm. And come the last week of the season, you're right there. So, I got my eye on those guys, man. I got my eye on them.
Yeah, we all should. 916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. See what Steven's talking about. Steven, what's happening, man?
What's happening, baby? How you guys doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Man, chilling. I'm just working. You know how it is, baby. Got to pay them bills, right?
Yes, indeed.
That's right. All right. Simple as this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is your belief in this ownership? That's it. Period, point blank. Are we going to start hearing sell the team chance in Sacramento here next year? Maybe towards the end of the year? I don't necessarily want to believe that, but, I mean, I am tinfoil hat guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's the relationship with Vivek and John Fisher. I've always found that to be a little funny, in my opinion, letting John Fisher, the scum of the earth, run his baseball team for free for the next 3 years. I really feel like there's some business ordeals and business practices that are shared between the two of them. Maybe they have some like tendencies. My personal belief, I don't believe in this ownership. I really feel like there should be a new owner in here that's actually basketball driven. You know, you could be a good businessman and own a sports team, but there's a huge difference between being a businessman and being a sports businessman. You know what I mean? So, I just, that's it, man. Okay. How strong is your guys' belief in this ownership?
Got you, Steven. Appreciate you. Passionate views there for sure. I disagree a little bit on the Fisher stuff, but I understand why people feel that way. Mm-hmm. I actually think that is one of Vivek's smarter decisions. Mm. There's a reason he did it, and if it winds up with the team being gone in 5 years, is great. I'm looking forward to opening day. I've never thought, man, I can't wait to go to opening day of a baseball game until a baseball season, until like now.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
Kyle's like, hey, we got media credentials, no worries. I'm still looking at tickets. I'm like, I don't know, man. I might want to enjoy this one as a fan.
Yeah.
I might want to enjoy this one as a resident of Sacramento.
I'll be in the standing room somewhere.
You're fine. Yeah. Be right next to you.
The two things about that. Number one, you talk about Vivek and John Fisher, and we'll get to the confidence meter as well. But yeah, he's not charging him to play games here, but Vivek owns the River Cats, and I think he owns Sutter Health Park, and you just got some free upgrades to your ballpark.
Like, yeah,
that happened. Like, I'm not saying it's the same as like somebody having to pay rent to play games, but you got eyes on your city and your product in your ballpark, and you just got a bunch of free upgrades. The other thing is, he took an I think Vivek is trying to play the long game and take an opportunity on trying to get baseball here permanently, and he took a shot, and we'll see what happens with it. Like, we talked about it before. I don't have no problem with him doing that. Like, this is a crazy game, man. So you do what you got to do when you can do it. And Vivek saw an opportunity, and he's trying to take advantage of it. So
I don't think that the Kings ownership situation is, like, as dire as it seems, just given, like what Glenn Taylor was a good owner for the Timberwolves. Like, you just need to hire the right guy. Mm. And I get not trusting him to do that, but, like, I don't think it's impossible. Like, it's not like every owner in the NBA is great, or all these professional owners are great. They're all smart. Everyone's in the playoffs. They're all genius owners. Like, it doesn't work that way. You just got to hire the right front office.
That's all it is.